The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. May a reading from the Holy Gospel. I almost said, may he go in peace, and the Mass is over. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Lord, be on my mind, be on my lips, and in my heart. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. The Lord replied, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would listen to you. Who among you would say to your servant who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, come here immediately and take your place at table? Would he not rather say to him, prepare something for me to eat? Put on your apron and wait on me while I eat and drink. And you may eat and drink when I am finished. Is he grateful to that servant because he did what he was commanded? So should it be with you. When you have done all that you have been commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what we were obliged to do. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus
Christ. Faith. If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, it doesn't feel like a lot, does it? You may have heard this story I would like to share. But there was once a man walking down a path in the wilderness, taking a hike. And as he walked along, one side was a huge cliff, a cavern. And when he stepped, a little rock might fall off, and it would go for seconds before he heard. He looked over, and he was scared. But as he kept walking, suddenly he slipped, and he starts falling down the cliff. At the last minute, he reaches out, grabs whatever he can. It's the root of a tree, and he's hanging there. And he hears those pebbles falling again. And he calls out, help! 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 The echo from far away. And he's scared, and he calls out, help! Is there anyone down there? He hears nothing. Help! Is there anyone down there? And then he hears a voice. Yes, I'm down here. Let go and I'll catch you. Is there anyone else down there? Try to put yourself, though, in that position. Have you ever felt that way? Because you felt something was happening that God was calling you to do, or you didn't see how this was going to work out. But yet we're called to trust in God and to let go. Today's readings about faith, and especially that saying, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, that's not a lot of faith. But that's almost what it always feels like. Whenever we're called to have faith, we feel like we're hanging there. We feel like God's asking us to do the impossible. We don't see how it's possibly going to work out. And we don't feel that we have enough faith to take the next step. And so today's readings are teaching us that we can ask God to increase our faith. And that prayer is important. Faith is a divine gift. But also there's more to it, because Jesus immediately follows this story with a parable about service, because we are called then to act on our faith, because we may get frozen if we simply focus on our lack of faith and be afraid to take the next step. Jesus says, do not be afraid, let go, trust, take that next step. And often then, in doing that, we see God's powerful intervention in our lives by his power, not our strength. And it encourages us for the next time we're hanging there, like on that branch. And so it is in our life. It's a long journey of faith. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. We're told to keep the faith. But our faith grows little by little by these times that it feels like we just don't have enough. But we never feel like we have enough. Say to the Lord, increase my faith and take that dive, acting on what you think God's calling you to do. And we can also think back in the times in our lives when we did take that leap of faith and God did catch us. And that can give us courage for the next time we must do this. And so right now, take some time in your life to think back at the times that you felt like you had the faith of a mustard seed, but yet you took the next step and God was there to help. Please remain seated. Let's take a little leap of faith. The second reading said, don't be ashamed of your testimony, but to continue to endure the hardships of the gospel. First vision reading says, the vision will yet come. So, is there anyone out there the Holy Spirit might be telling us, you, that sharing your faith, giving a testimony of a time when God intervened to increase your faith that was the size of a mustard seed. If there's anyone who would give a testimony to help strengthen our faith, if the Holy Spirit is saying that you need to share that for the good of my people, please come forward to this podium.
Good morning. My name is Ulysses Alvarado. I'm married to Lisette Alvarado, and I have two daughters. And talking about faith, life is a roller coaster, as you know, right? It's up and down. And I thought faith, I always had faith. I thought, you know, faith was, I believe in God, I'm good, right? So I'll go to heaven. Or faith is, I believe in God and I go to church every other Sunday. I'm good, right? How about if I go to holidays and Sundays and God? So I started really looking into faith a year ago. I've been going to church for 5 years here. I believed in God all my life. But our lives were changed upside down a year ago. I'm an entrepreneur of two companies. My wife and I, we own two companies for the past 10 years. And a year ago, we went from an income to no income within 5 seconds of a phone call. And it was a struggle. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what was going to happen. I had no idea. I prayed to God every day, but what I realized was that what I was doing was counterintuitive. And what I mean by that is that, yes, I believe in God. I went to church, holidays, prayed every day, But I always still worried about money. I always worried about paying employees, always worried about paying our mortgage, always worried about all of those things. So you have God and money. Well, that shouldn't be, that's counterintuitive, right? I mean, that doesn't make sense. And I didn't find that out until a year ago. And little by little, God kept on calling me to him closer and closer. It's like peeling an onion. And during that time, I decided to surrender to God. Surrender to God, that's crazy. That's crazy to me. I mean, you're telling me that I could only control certain things as an entrepreneur? That's risky. But I decided to do it because of the fact that I thought that I heard that I needed to surrender and completely surrender. It's not tippy-toeing in. It's 100% surrendering. And our lives have changed for the better since I surrendered to God. And my wife and my daughters, their support system, and they too are surrendering to God. It's just a testament of that, how God really works through us when we surrender. And I encourage everyone to take a look at that, because not that you're like me, but you know, if you think that your faith is questionable, you yourself, surrender to God. That is the answer. And I'm a testament. And just to kind of show you our hardship, we were losing our house. We lost all of our savings because we invested in our company. We were losing pretty much everything materialistic. And again, it's counterintuitive. I thought that was important. But just taking a risk and just, God, if we lose this all, it's okay. We know that we're going to be fine. And wherever you want to take us, we'll go. And we're still at home. And we're still struggling. But month by month, somehow, some way, he continues blessing us because we continue surrendering. So thank you for your time. God bless.
Amen. If the Holy Spirit's saying it, we got time for one more. Oh, back there, he's ready.
That's not the Holy Spirit.
I mean, that is the Holy Spirit. It was busting out, forgive me.
Good afternoon. My name's Eddie Wante. I actually am a fourth generation, actually third generation, pardon me, of my family members coming to this church. So our family has been coming to this church since actually we built it from a mission. My grandfather's efforts and sweat actually are reflected in the bricks of this church as well as the hall and the schools here. So I'm happy to be the third generation still coming here. But I haven't been here consistently, because like a lot of us, we have to move around and follow work. And most recently, as I had turned over 50 years old, I didn't plan to work till 65, 70 years old. I only planned to work until 60 years old. And I always said, I'm going to come home here. For us, home is Redondo Beach. But our plan was to come back here and call this home when we retired. So shortly after moving around, I relocated with our company 7 times during my 26 years with this company, and another 10 years with another company. So I've been working for about 40 years. And probably the worst thing that happens to you after you turn 50 was announced. There was a company here on 190th and Western. It was called Toyota Motor Sales USA. I'd been there forever. And that's what I was working for, was Toyota Motor Sales USA. So I found myself at 52 years old now, deciding, do I follow my company to Plano, Texas, where they work, or do I quit and find another job? At 52, in my mid-50s. So I took the leap of faith and took one more relocation back in 2016, back out to Plano, and I said, you know, this isn't so bad. As I mentioned to you, I planned on working to 60 years old all along. So needless to say, after a little while, I got comfortable in Plano. I was coming back and forth about once or twice a month here to church, and my oldest son approached me. So the bad news is with my kids is I had kids when I was 18. Now that I'm 55, the good news is I had kids when I was 18. So my oldest son is 37, and he said, Dad, how much longer are you going to do this? I was 54, about ready to turn 54. And I said, Chris, I've told you guys I'm going to work till I'm 60. He said, yeah, but you said that when the company was on 190th and Western. Now you're in Plano, Texas. There's 5 new grandchildren, and I find you here in your mid-50s, about 2,500 miles away from the family. And I said, Chris, I plan financially along for 50. I really like the people I work with, and I really like what I'm doing. So he said, so what I'm hearing you say to me, Dad, is you're doing it for the money. You prefer to keep your current position for your ego, and you'd rather be with your work friends than with your own family. And I looked at him and I said, I know that's not what came out of my mouth, but I really understand that's what you heard. And it was at that moment that what I thought was impossible, I thought I could never afford to retire at 55. I'm going to retire in California. And if you read all the bad news and you read all the headlines, people tell you you can't retire at 55 in California. So what I did is I saw my financial planner. Secondly is I really just talked to my family about what we're going to do. And the third thing I did was pray. Just really prayed on it and really asked God to provide me the direction, and not just me, but also my family, because they had to be part of the journey. If we're going to accelerate in my mid-50s to retire at 55 instead of 60, we got to make this happen. I'm happy to tell you that on August 30th, I retired. This last week, I officially have been 1 month retired, and everything is just fine. But I really, really had to put the faith in God and really decide this is no longer in my control, and my son was right. I need to be home because on my birthday, August 26th of 2019, I turned 55, and God had my sixth grandson born on my birthday. So what are the odds that one of your grandkids will be born on your birthday? So if he wasn't right telling me it's time for you to come home, there's a bigger purpose for you here with your family. You have to lead. I don't know what else it can be. So I'm here to say that when you're left with the most difficult decisions, no matter how old we get, just put the faith in God and let God steer the way. And there's some good decisions. And the only difference between good and God is 1-0. So always make good decisions. Thanks for the time and letting me share.
Thank you, Eddie. So it is difficult to act on our faith. Remembering the times that God has responded helps us to have faith. And listening to others' testimonies and telling them to others, our family members, our work, helps increase their faith and allows them to trust in God. And it's only when we take that leap of faith that we experience God's power. And that makes God's presence grow and builds the church and the world and his kingdom.